This is Jordan Seculo. We have quite the breaking news for you today. U.S. Attorney Durham's review of the Russia inquiry and the origins of the Russia investigations has now turned into an official criminal investigation. We'll talk about what that means today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I talked to a U.S. official that said this shift, this move from an administrative review right now to a criminal inquiry is very significant. And why? Because what we know is that Attorney General William Barr, as well as John Durham, have been traveling overseas. They've been talking to intelligence officials, to our allies in Italy, to others across the pond in London. So there may be developments that we don't know about yet that cause this shift.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is very significant, and it's going to reveal a lot as to how far they weaponized the intelligence community to go after President Trump.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
This is truly breaking news, and I think it's breaking news that many of you have been waiting for a long time. When U.S. Attorney John Durham was announced by Attorney General Barr to investigate the origins of the Russia investigation, which began with the FBI, Crossfire Hurricane, Peter Strzok, and then led to the appointment of a special counsel, Bob Mueller. There were FISA applications. There was the dossier, all of this information. So he was appointed by Attorney General Barr to investigate the origins. How did this really all get started? Now, initially, it was an investigation, an inquiry. When you have that kind of power, you're kind of limited. You are limited in the sense that people can provide testimony. You can ask people to talk to you, but they aren't compelled to talk to you. You can ask people to provide documents to you, but they don't have to provide documents to you. Now, before this news broke, U.S. Attorney Durham would still have access to a trove of information from the Department of Justice and the FBI because he is inside the organization. But breaking news last night that we know is sending shockwaves through Washington, D.C. It's why a lot of the mainstream media doesn't even want to cover it, because it is scaring a lot of people. We're not going to name names. We're not going to speculate. You could, I think all of you out there could come up with your own list of people who should be probably pretty nervous right now. But let's make it clear. What started out is an investigation into the origins and the potential wrongdoing in the origins of the Russia investigation. How did this all get started? Why was there a Crossfire Hurricane? Why was the dossier relied on? Why did then a special counsel need to be appointed who found that there was no collusion? Why take the country through this whole process? That investigation has now become officially a criminal investigation. And I want to go right to our former U.S. attorney, ACLJ attorney, Andy Economou, right now, because Andy, when it goes from a inquiry to a formal criminal investigation, the power of John Durham just went up substantially.
It did. What happens is that when you make this pivot from an administrative and civil investigation, which is purely entails the voluntary production of documents and testimony, now you've got a federal grand jury, which consists of between 16 and 23 citizens drawn from the district in which the investigation is taking place into potential crimes. You have enormous power, and that includes the power of the subpoena. You can subpoena individuals to appear before the grand jury. They don't have the right to have their lawyer in there with them. They can have a lawyer outside and consult. You have the right to subpoena documents and information. Limited privileges can be asserted. You are now in a full-fledged look for crimes.
Full-fledged look for crimes. And you believe that if you wanted to turn this into an a criminal investigation, you believe that there likely were crimes committed, right?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Right, because you're adding a lot of extra work. You're adding a grand jury. You're adding the compelled testimony, compelled subpoenas,
right,
documentation as well. This is huge news, folks, that this investigation went from kind of an inquiry into a full-blown criminal investigation into the origins of the Russia hoax investigation of President Trump. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
First, we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I need to set the stage for you once again. There is breaking news. Remember, Attorney General Barr ordered U.S. Attorney John Durham. He is a U.S. attorney from Connecticut, but he's handled a lot of investigations in Washington, D.C., including government abuse. Government abuse at prisons like Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay. So, I mean, this is a fair shooter who knows what it's like to investigate his own. His own government officials and people he, again, may even have worked with before. So he's been very reliable on that, a straight shooter, not a partisan guy, not a guy who people see as someone who is, again, going to bend things for political purposes at all. But, of course, I bet that will all change now in the Washington media, right? Because now what started out as Attorney General Barr ordering U.S. Attorney Durham to begin an inquiry, really an investigation, non-criminal, into the origins of the Russia investigation. Why was there Crossfire Hurricane? What led to Peter Schrock beginning that as the top counterintelligence officer at the FBI? Was it the dossier? Who provided it? Why, you know, Jim Comey said substantiated and salacious. I mean, you know, again, so then why did it lead to FISA? Why did it lead to a special counsel who found the same info that there was no conspiracy between Russia and the Trump campaign, or as the word that they love to toss around, collusion? So why did this all occur? The origins and the potential spying on a presidential campaign, the use of this Russia probe to justify FISA warrants, to then justify spying on the Trump campaign, the Trump transition, and ultimately even potentially the Trump White House. So because we know about Comey having those people inside the National Security Council. We're not going to speculate on who his targets are here or why exactly, what was the reason why this went recently from an investigation that was not criminal into a full-blown criminal investigation. I think we can come up with many hypotheticals. There's lots of different rabbit holes you could go down. But something stuck out to John Durham. He took it to Attorney General Barr and said we need to have the full power of a criminal investigation. So let me explain through Andy and Harry the difference here. Initially, when Durham had this role, it was a big deal. But he could only get voluntary interviews, he could do his own research, and he could only get voluntary documents. So he could ask for documents, but you'd have to provide him to them voluntarily. He could ask you to do an interview, but you'd have to do it voluntarily. He couldn't force anything. That has all changed now, both Andy and Harry.
That's right. What we now have is compulsory process through the issuance of a grand jury subpoena, and that makes a tremendous difference in the gravamen of what you do here. You have no right now not to appear and give your evidence unless it tends to incriminate you, and you can claim that right in the grand jury. You don't have the right to counsel. You don't have the right to have a lawyer in the grand jury with you when the government is questioning you. These are not contentious proceedings. They are one-sided proceedings. They are not adversary is the word I was looking for. They are not adversary proceedings. You don't have the right to cross-examination or anything like that. The prosecutor has the right to call witnesses and to subpoena those witnesses and to subpoena documents, and you have to produce those documents to the grand jury. So it has pivoted enormously, Jordan, made a tremendous change in the tenor and scope of what it is that the U.S. attorney is now looking at, and it makes and there's a reason behind it. And the reason behind it is there is a point that has been reached, obviously, in which John Durham has said, there's something criminal here. It's not just civil and administrative. I need the tools that a grand jury gives me. Grand juries are impaneled. They sit in the districts continuously. And that's exactly what happened in this situation.
You know, it's interesting. In the news about this, there's two items. One, Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler are saying this is profoundly concerning that the DOJ has lost its independence and become a vehicle for President Trump's political revenge. Now, they never would say that about John Durham before in the past. But here's the thing, Harry. Among other things, as is reported in the news, what really is being investigated here, now criminally, is whether the U.S. and foreign intelligence services may have worked to prevent Mr. Trump's election, because that certainly would be criminal.
Absolutely. And it's more likely than not that there was indeed a criminal conspiracy. And so if you think about it carefully, it's very possible that there was a Russia collusion narrative, but it was created potentially inside of the deep state itself. So the transformation of the Durham Bar administrative review into a criminal investigation is truly welcome news, because it widens the scope of Durham's investigation and it provides him with additional powers. So while Adam Schiff, the Lord Impeacher in Chief, and Jerry Nadler preemptively condemned the elevation of Durham's Russia probe into a criminal investigation, it is clear that John Durham has the power to determine whether various deep state actors engaged in criminal misconduct, including possible violations of the Fourth Amendment. And more likely than not, there is sufficient evidence out there suggesting that they engaged in this misconduct intentionally and with malice. And so it's very important for the American people to discount claims made by Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, who claim without evidence that the Justice Department has been transformed into a vehicle of political retribution. We should discount that claim, but we should note the hopeful development that it is now clear that Attorney General Barr suggests that there is a reasonable indication that a crime has been committed, and this hopefully will lead to something the American people have been crying out for a very long time: accountability. And accountability and justice would be very, very important, I think, going forward.
Kathy on Facebook writes in, are we about to find out how deep the deep state actually goes? You know, usually we've talked about kind of the top of the deep state actors, the leadership, the big names, the FBI directors, the deputy FBI directors, the DOJ officials. But there's a lot of others. There's those like three people that Jim Comey had at the White House National Security Council that were direct reports to him that only he could remove, and they didn't give up their FBI credentials. Those are kind of like more deep staters, because those are not household names. They're not major positions. They're not people, again, that are going to be in the news a lot. You just hear them as kind of, hey, this happened. Then you've got those folks in the NSA and others. And it's not just the clappers, the Brit, it's the big names. It's not that group. It's all of the people under them. It's not just the Powers and the Susan Rices, all the people underneath them. So I do believe, Andy, that by turning this into with the grand jury and getting people start talking, you're going to find out, probably more so than not, that most of this was directed by pretty powerful people, that it wasn't low-level bureaucrats, as the IRS tried to say in our Tea Party targeting case, who came up with this idea to go after the president. That to do this, it took some high-ranking deep staters.
It took some people with some power and some muscle to do it. You don't have just functionaries making these kinds of determinations. These are people who have been embedded in the government agencies in which they control, administration after administration after administration. They've stayed in there. They've exercised and wielded this power. But if you, and I think Durham knows how to use the grand jury, and he's going to use those subpoenas, and he's going to get to the information that he needs. I can't emphasize enough how important this pivot from civil/administrative to criminal is. It's a tremendous change in the complexion and the perplexity in which this thing is going to be looked at. It's going to be looked at with very, very piercing eyeballs.
Now, at the same time, we come back from the break. Share this broadcast. We've got thousands of people just watching on Facebook. Over 7,000 are watching on Facebook right now. If you're watching on Facebook or Periscope, click the share button now, because the mainstream media wants to ignore that this has been turned into a criminal investigation into the origins of why President Trump was spied on and his campaign was spied on, and this Russia investigation. So share this now with your friends and family on Facebook and Periscope. We've also got breaking news on the Inspector General's FISA report, and in his investigation, quote, nearing completion is what he told members of Congress. He said that the report will have few redactions and will be released to the public just as soon as the final classification markings are done by the FBI and DOJ, and they don't expect that time to be lengthy. So that Inspector General's report on the potential FISA abuses is coming soon. And we were told that by the Inspector General. Give us a call as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
So right off the bat, I want your calls to start coming in so we can prepare those on if you've got questions about what it means for this Attorney General Barr when he ordered U.S. Attorney Durham to begin investigating the origins of the Russia probe, and was there wrongdoing in the origins. That was not initially a criminal investigation. It broke last night that this has now become a full-blown criminal investigation led by U.S. Attorney John Durham. That means he can impanel a grand jury. They're always impaneled in Washington, D.C. That means he can compel testimony by subpoena. He can compel documents by subpoena. You can no longer, or you'd be held in contempt. In those grand jury proceedings, you don't get representation by counsel. Remember, the grand jury doesn't return a verdict. They return indictments that then lead to courts where you get represented by counsel. So, again, this is a secretive process. We're not going to, and the media did not report what they think turned this, and we're not going to start making hypotheticals up. I think all of us could. We could probably write pages and pages of where Durham could have decided, okay, I now believe this is a criminal investigation, and I'm going to request that we could turn this into one. And I think, Andy, the way that would work is he would go to Attorney General Barr and say, I'd like to turn this into, or does he have the power to do it?
Well, I would think that as the U.S. attorney empowered to conduct the investigation, he would have the power to do it himself. But I doubt seriously that he did not consult with the Attorney General of the United States and say, look, I think that there are things here that are criminal in nature that we need to investigate and get the blessing of the Attorney General to do that. That is not unusual, but U.S. attorneys have the power as assistant district attorneys would, and they would notify the DA that they're going to do this. And I think he probably did that. But it is a really marked, important step that you have to understand in making this pivot from civil/administrative to looking at things criminally with the enormous, I can't tell you how enormous power a federal grand jury has to uncover evidence of criminal wrongdoing.
Folks, let me now update you on the Graham-McConnell resolution. This is the resolution expressing the sense of the Senate that the House of Representatives should consist with longstanding practice and precedent prior to proceeding any further with its impeachment investigation into President Trump, vote to open, that's a vote by the full House, a formal impeachment inquiry and provide President Trump with fundamental constitutional protections. We won't go through the full resolution. We did a lot of that yesterday on the broadcast. But part of this is five things they ask in the resolution. One, allow the president to be represented by counsel. Again, some of that would be the counsel that we provide. Some of that would be the White House counsel. Two, permitting the president's counsel to be present at all hearings and depositions. We are not right now. Three, permitting the president's counsel to present evidence and object to the admission of evidence. That's not happening right now. Four, allowing the president's counsel to call and cross-examine witnesses. That's absolutely not happening right now. And five, giving the president's counsel access to and the ability to respond to the evidence adduced by the committee. It closes with this: resolved that the Senate, one, calls on the House of Representatives prior to proceeding any further with its impeachment inquiry investigation into President Trump to vote to initiate by the full House a formal impeachment inquiry. Number two, calls on the House of Representatives to provide President Trump, like every other American, with due process to include the ability to confront his accusers, call witnesses on his behalf, and have a basic understanding of the accusations against him that would form any basis for impeachment. And three, calls on the House of Representatives to provide members of the minority, that would be Republicans in the House, with the ability to participate fully in all proceedings and have equal authority to issue subpoenas and other compulsory process. It's pretty shocking that none of that is happening right now, actually, under this. But it is a phony impeachment investigation. Now, the big news yesterday was that when Lindsey Graham announced this, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, immediately signed on. Now, Mitch McConnell is very powerful within the Senate, especially amongst the Republican majority, the 53 Republicans. I mean, he's a major fundraiser. He is the one who puts the votes together, and he takes his role very seriously. I know sometimes people get a little bit frustrated with that, but he does take his role very seriously. He signed on to this immediately. This is now called the Graham McConnell Resolution. And as of the moment I'm speaking to you, and I have a feeling this number will go up today, but as I'm speaking to you, 46 Republicans have officially signed their names on to this resolution. Most recently, Senator Rob Portman. That means that there are five more necessary to get to 51, but here's who remains. Who has not yet signed on, that's a Republican, to the resolution condemning the House for this phony impeachment. I'm going to go through the list, and Will's going to put in the chat for me the Capitol switchboard so that I'll give you the number. And I want you, especially if this is one of your senators, to call and say, sign the Graham McConnell resolution on the House's wrong impeachment inquiry, something like that. Just make it simple. Just ask them to sign on to the Graham McConnell resolution condemning what the House has done with this bogus impeachment inquiry. Here it is. Here's the list. Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, a Republican senator, he's retiring. He has not yet signed on. I'm not saying these people are bad or won't sign on, but he just hasn't yet signed on. So call his office. How do you do that? You call the Capitol switchboard. If you live in Tennessee, it's the same number for everybody, but it really makes an impact if you are a Tennessee voter. Call 202-224-3121 right now and ask to speak with Senator Lamar Alexander's office. The Capitol switchboard will connect you immediately. You'll talk to a staffer. Be nice about it because we want him to sign on. And just say, hey, I'm a Tennessee voter, and I encourage Senator Alexander to sign on to the Graham McConnell resolution condemning the House for how they've conducted this impeachment inquiry so far of President Trump. That's all. Very simple. Kind. Nice. Not aggressive. Because I think a lot of these people will sign on. They just may not have had a chance yet to even review it. But let's get their staff on it and make sure the staff gets it in front of these senators. And he's one who is retiring, so his staff is kind of shrinking right now. The next, Senator Susan Collins of Maine sometimes sees herself as a moderate, but I will tell you, has come through mighty conservative when it comes to judicial nominations and when it comes to bad process. And this is bad process. So I think Susan Collins absolutely should be signing this resolution. I ultimately think she will. I would be shocked that she wouldn't. I'm not shocked that she wasn't one of the first people to sign on right away. I think she wants to take her time with it. But if you're in Maine, call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. Senator Inzi from Wyoming, Senator Gardner from Colorado, Senator Isaacson from Georgia, Senator Mikowski from Alaska, and of course, Senator Romney from Utah. All of you listening, if those are your senators, call that same number, 202-224-3121, ask to speak to their office and deliver the message to that you would like your senator and that you're a voter from their state and that maybe you voted for them to sign on to the Graham McConnell resolution. Do it now, 202-224-3121.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I know millions of people are listening to the radio broadcast right now, and I'm watching on Facebook, and over 6,000 of you are watching on Facebook. Share this with your friends and family as we kind of reset the second half hour of the broadcast for you. There's breaking news, and we know that you can't always follow the full hour of the show. So share this now with your friends and family on Facebook and Periscope right now as you're watching, because we have breaking news, especially if you're just joining us. Remember that Attorney General Barr initially asked a U.S. attorney, John Durham from Connecticut, to conduct a review of an inquiry into the Russia investigation, into the origins of the Russia investigation, what led to Crossfire Hurricane, the dossier, Peter Strzok taking those actions, what led to the special counsel. Even though the special counsel found ultimately there was no collusion, there was no conspiracy, what was the impetus for all this? Why did this all start? And at first, this was an inquiry by a U.S. attorney. It was not a criminal investigation. What did that mean? That means that he had access to a lot of information inside the DOJ and FBI, sure, but he could not compel testimony. He could only get voluntary interviews. And from people outside the government, really, he could only get voluntary documents. He could ask for things, but you'd have to voluntarily give it to him and his staff. Well, we've learned, it's been reported last night, we don't know when this occurred. It could have occurred a week ago. It could have occurred 2 days ago. This inquiry has now turned into an official criminal investigation into the origins of the FBI counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign and what ultimately led to the Mueller investigation and Mueller report. And that significantly changes everything, folks. I mean, I'm not going to be hypothetical about who should be shaking in their boots right now in Washington, D.C., because I think there's way too many people to go through, and I can't even imagine the kind of information that Durham has uncovered. Because, again, I think we've only seen kind of like what's out in the press, what gets leaked out in the media, what gets discussed that is available to all of us. He's seen a lot more already. And Andy, he's about to see even more information, because I want to explain it again. People say, well, okay, what is the big change here? He was already a U.S. attorney. What's the big change from making this into it? Why is this breaking news that this is no longer an inquiry but a criminal investigation?
Well, the importance of this is the fact that a federal grand jury impaneled in the District of Columbia, with being led by their attorney, the U.S. attorney, John Durham, by designation of Attorney General Barr, is now looking at these matters that occurred as if there is criminal wrongdoing that may have taken place. And the important thing is that now you can use federal process. You can use a grand jury subpoena to lay it on somebody to come in before that grand jury and to testify, to produce books, records, and documents. You don't have the right to have counsel with you. It is not a courtroom proceeding. It is not an adversary proceeding. It's one-sided. You don't have the right to have counsel present, although they can be outside and you can step out of the room and consult with them. But the whole tenor has changed, Jordan. This is now looking at something that may end up in you being indicted and having to face a trial before a jury and ultimately possibly go into the penitentiary. And that's why this is serious business.
Yeah, very, very serious. Folks, we're going to start taking your calls right when we come back from this break, 1-800-684-3110. We've also got a big update on the Inspector General at the Department of Justice. His report on the FISA abuse is nearly completed. That's what he told the House and Senate, and that there won't be many redactions, that the public will see it. So we're just waiting for the FBI and DOJ to give the final check, and this will be released to the public. This is also huge. 1-800-684-3110. We want to answer your questions. We want to take your comments. And this resolution introduced by Lindsey Graham, co-sponsored by Mitch McConnell, condemning the House on their phony impeachment, is gaining steam, but who do you need to contact to push it over the line?
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That breaking news that the Durham probe into the origins of the Russia investigation by the Department of Justice has turned from a probe into a full-blown criminal investigation. And we've been explaining the difference there. Now he has a grand jury. Now he has full subpoena power for testimony, compelled documents. The grand jury can issue indictments. Which means that could lead to criminal court and cases before a criminal court. We're not going to speculate on who those may be against or what was the impetus for why now. We may just be hearing about it now. This could have occurred. You know, the grand jury in D.C. is secret, and they're always operating 24/7. So we may just be hearing about it now because there may be people that are starting to be called to testify. Subpoenaed, who, again, it's not voluntary anymore. You don't get represented by counsel because it's not charges that it's just the indictments that are brought against you. It's not that you're convicted. So you testify, you're compelled to testify. And I'm sure the reason why this is probably coming out is because there's got to be some action there. And once someone is, though the grand jury is secret and the jurors are secret, Andy, once someone is compelled to testify or hand over documents, they can actually tell people that they were compelled to
do
that.
Yes, there's nothing.
Not necessarily smart, but they can do it.
Yeah, they can do that. The grand jurors are bound to secrecy, but a person who wants to go in the grand jury and testify and then go out and blab about what they said has right to do that if they want to. That would be foolish, in my opinion, to do that. But the grand jurors and the prosecutor are bound to secrecy. These proceedings are secret for a reason. And the reason is not to expose people who are potentially innocent witnesses to the specter that they may have committed criminal acts. You can be a subject of an investigation, you can be a witness, or you can be a target. There's three different categories, and a lot of people are just going to be fact witnesses, and they shouldn't be going and talking about what they did or what they didn't do in the grand jury.
We're going to go right to the phone calls. Bruce in Oregon. Bruce has been holding on. Make sure Bruce gets a book. I don't know if he's already got the next Red Wave, but we'll make sure you get something new, Bruce. If you do, if you don't, we'll get you that. Thanks for holding on, Bruce. We wanted to get through a lot of info before we started to get to the calls. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. Regarding the McConnell-Graham resolution,
yeah.
Going to Schiff's hearing, do the Republicans that are sitting in there listening to these witnesses have the right to cross-examine the witnesses?
Okay, so the Republicans in the hearings can ask questions, but only the Republicans who are members of the committee, and by the way, they're bound by a gag rule. So the only information you're getting out from these hearings that Schiff is conducting is leaked by Schiff and his staff. Because if the Republicans were to do it, they'd be in serious trouble. He's instituted a gag rule. They can't even review documents without going to the House Intelligence Committee office and going into a secret room where they are overseen by one of Schiff's Democrat staffers. But here's the real issue. In a real impeachment inquiry, Harry, and this is part of the Graham-McConnell resolution, and if you look at the resolution, which now has 46 sponsors, so it's just a five short of the 51 necessary for just Republicans. One of the things they're asking for is permitting the president's counsel to be present at all the hearings, permitting the president's counsel to present evidence and object to admissions of evidence. But number four, which goes right to Bruce's point, allowing the president's counsel to call and cross-examine witnesses, because that's how a real impeachment inquiry is conducted.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think it's clear beyond question that Adam Schiff has launched a quote-unquote impeachment inquiry without understanding, as a lawyer, the notion of elementary due process guaranteed by the Constitution and guaranteed by Anglo-American jurisprudence historically. In addition, he has launched an investigation that is inconsistent with prior precedent. So I think it is clear beyond question that the Senate resolution, the Graham-McConnell resolution, is absolutely required, and it is time for the Republicans, A, to stand up first for the Constitution, second, to stand up for the nation itself and the Republic, but thirdly, to insist that due process must be served as a predicate to bringing forward any impeachment claim. So, for instance, allowing the president to be represented by counsel, permitting the president's counsel to be present at all hearings and depositions, permitting the president's counsel to present evidence and to object to the admission of evidence, allowing the president's counsel to call and cross-examine witnesses, but in the Schiff investigation, as I understand it, Republicans are not allowed to bring forward their own witnesses who might, for instance, impeach the Democrat witnesses. And in addition, the Republicans are subject to a gag order, while the Democrats apparently are free to leak information as they wish. So this is consistent, this approach by the Democrats is consistent with what Kimberly Strassel calls Adam Schiff as the Lord Impeacher in Chief. And I think it needs to stop.
And this gets me right to the resolution. So we've got the resolution, Andy. Lindsey Graham, and a major move already yesterday because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell signed on to this resolution.
Right.
We now have 46 signatures all named. The latest was Rob Portman from Ohio, which is a big battleground state as well. You really, though, it's 60 to pass these resolutions. What we're really looking at is, does it get to 51? Because if it gets to 51, that means there's 51 Republicans who would likely, if the House continues down this path and ever does impeach by using this process, 51 who are just going to vote on a motion to dismiss the articles of impeachment. They're not going to hold some show trial in the Senate based off this phony impeachment. But it's got to get to 51. Right now it's at 46. It's a major move. We're about to call on people to take some grassroots action. But I don't want – I know with this criminal investigation news is huge, but this is very important as well as to shutting down – ultimately, and potentially, if Democrats do ever decide to hold an impeachment vote, which is a big question, that Republicans now in the Senate, I mean, we've seen this big shift. You know, the media kept telling us they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they're going to handle it. And then, boom, bombs keep dropping on the Democrats. Criminal investigation by Durham now. Subpoena power, grand jury, compelled testimony, compelled documents. Subpoenas are going to be going out, if they're not already going out, about the origins of the Russia probe. oh, the Senate's going to so out of sort, who knows how they'll vote on Trump. Well, we already know that 46 are against the way that the House is conducting this. We're only five short of them saying it's absolutely wrong and there's no way we're even going to probably hold an impeachment trial. So I just want to underscore that quickly, Andy.
Yeah, I think that the fact that we're simply five short of what would be a majority, which is all you need to pass a motion to dismiss it if it comes over from the House on articles of impeachment, is very critical. And I look at this list. Senator Alexander should not be a problem. Senator Collins comes through in the end. She came through for Kavanaugh, and Senator Mike Enzi. Johnny Isaacson, my senator from Georgia, should definitely sign on. And Lisa Murkowski, an iffy person if there ever was one. Yeah. And same thing with Mitt Romney. But the fact is that all we need is five more votes for senators to sign on to the McConnell-Graham resolution, and then there will be no impeachment trial in the Senate because it'll be dismissed upon motion made.
So here's what we want you to do right now. We know the Republicans plus one Democrat that should be called to sign on to this resolution, the Graham-McConnell resolution. You can flood those Capitol switchboards right now, but I really am focused on if this is one of your senators, you make the most impact. Here's the number you call for every one of these senators. So if you live in Tennessee, you call 202-224-3121. That is the Capitol switchboard. You ask to speak to Senator Lamar Alexander's office. You tell them you're a Tennessee voter, you'll be speaking to a staffer, and that you are requesting that Senator Alexander add his name and sign on to the Graham-McConnell resolution condemning how the House has conducted this impeachment against President Trump. You do the same if you're a Maine voter. You call Senator Collins at 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard. You ask to speak to her office. You say, I'm a Maine voter. You tell Senator Collins, again, please, Senator Collins, I encourage as a Maine voter for her to sign on to the Graham-McConnell resolution. Call Enzi's office, 202-224-3121, if you're a Wyoming voter. Gardner's office, if you're a Colorado voter. Isaacson's office if you're a Georgia voter, Murkowski's office if you're an Alaska voter, Romney's office. I mean, come on, you know, I actually worked on Mitt Romney's first campaign. I'm a little bit ashamed to say that right now. Come on, Mitt, call his office. Everybody, even if you're outside Utah, because he was a national figure, and ask him to sign on to this resolution. And there's a Democrat who's been very iffy on this and has a tough race coming up in Alabama. Doug Jones. If you live in Alabama, call Senator Doug Jones' office, 202-224-3121. Ask him to sign the resolution. That would be huge.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. A senior Planned Parenthood abortionist was caught on camera detailing how they crush the baby, altering the abortion procedure, so they are very good at getting the heart, lung, and liver. They sell the baby's organs so, quote, it doesn't look like they're making money, end quote. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.
So briefly, what we've covered, the investigation into the origins of the Russia probe, that would be the those who began the probe, so into the government, by U.S. Attorney Durham, he was appointed by Attorney General Barr to do that, has now become a criminal investigation, which means he has a grand jury, he has subpoena power for individuals to testify, he has subpoena power for documents, compelling documents. He didn't have that before. Before, he could ask for testimony, but it was voluntary. He could ask for documents, but it was voluntary. Something changed there where he believed that there was potential criminal conduct that should be brought before a grand jury who will then decide whether indictments should be brought against specific individuals. We don't know who those are. We're not going to come up with a lot of hypotheticals. I bet all of you listening to this could come up with a big list of hypotheticals, and I'm sure we'll learn more as the days go on. The grand jury itself is secret, but the people compelled to testify who get the subpoenas, they can talk if they want. Now, some might try to do it to politicize this or try to hurt the investigation. So I think the Department of Justice, whether this started 2 weeks ago or 3 days ago, wanted to make sure this was out there to the public, that people knew that this had changed, that so the reports are there. And that if people started talking like that, it wasn't shocking that there was this, that this investigation turned criminal, but it gives significantly more power to U.S. Attorney Durham. We've talked about the McConnell. The Graham McConnell resolution is up to 46. We've asked you to call Senator Lamar Alexander's office, Senator Collins' office, Senator Inzi's office, Senator Gardner's office, Senator Isaacson's office, Senator Murkowski's office, Senator Romney's office. Those are the Republicans who have not yet signed on to the resolution. 46 have publicly, including most recently Rob Portman from Idaho. And I want to mention, too, Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who's not always been a big fan of the president and some of his actions, but he signed on to this resolution as well because of how badly conducted this House impeachment phony inquiry has been done by Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, and Nadler. So I want to congratulate Ben Sasse for doing the right thing there, even though I know he's got some questions about some of the actions, some of the behaviors. He did the right thing, which means Mitt Romney should follow suit as well. So I think, you know, right now, all you have to do to contact these senators, there's one number and you can reach all of them. You call the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. So if you write that number down, 202-224-3121, you can call and say, I'd like to speak to Senator Alexander. Then you can say Collins, Inzi, Gardner, Isaacson, Murkowski, Romney. Just keep calling back. It'd be very quick. Because you're just going to say, hey, I'm a voter in your state or I'm a concerned citizen. I would like Senator and Alexander or Collins or whichever of these that we've named to sign on to the Graham McConnell resolution condemning the House irregularities and actions on this bogus impeachment. Be nice about it because I think we can get most of them to sign on. And there's a Democrat too. Alabama listeners, call Senator Doug Jones at 202-224-3121. I bet he didn't expect us to ask people to call his office today, but he's been very wishy-washy on this. He's got a tough re-election battle. I think he's probably the Democrat most likely, if there were any, to sign on to this Graham McConnell resolution. He would be number one on the list, and we're hearing that from our government affairs director, Than Bennett. So you know what? Alabama voters called Doug Jones. All of you listening, call Doug Jones. Put the pressure on because those Senate races become national very quickly. They raise money nationally. And so ask Doug Jones as well to sign on to the Graham McConnell resolution saying that this House impeachment investigation has been phony and bogus. And you, again, you call that same number, the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. You just ask to speak to Senator Doug Jones' office. You'll talk to a staffer. be nice. If you are an Alabama voter or a voter from any one of these senator states, make sure you know that. That adds a lot of impact. But even if you're not, you're a concerned citizen. So make those phone calls today. We've also talked about the FISA, the report on from the Inspector General for DOJ on the FISA, potential FISA abuse is nearly complete, he said to the House and Senate, and will be released publicly with very few redactions. He's just waiting for the final check from DOJ. So that could come at any time, maybe next week, maybe tonight, maybe 2 weeks from now. We don't know, but it should be very soon. Let's go right to the phones. Order we call. And please be as quick as possible. We've only got a few minutes left. Raj in Virginia, you've been holding on. Raj, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Thank God for this wonderful opportunity, this privilege we have. And I was reading, and I encourage everyone to read the last few chapters, last few paragraphs in the foreword to the book, The Next Red Wave. I've been so blessed by that. It's a call to action, and that is a call to action which I want to share with everyone who's listening now. Go to your pastors, your elders, send them this book, send them even the video and all the gifts. No one knows, in general, how well all your activities have been presented through the social media and the anti-social media.
Well, hey, Raj, I appreciate that. I appreciate you talking about The Next Red Wave. Go to thenextredwave.com, purchase your hardcover. We've got all the different places you can buy it, whether it's ebook, hardcover, audiobook, it's all available for you. And at thenextredwave.com, we give you a choice of retailers. It should be in your bookstores, though some bookstores are doing they're restocking right now as well. Thenextredwave.com. Raj, appreciate that call. Tyrone in Maryland, line two, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jordan. Number one, I want to thank you guys for the show and for the wonderful work you're doing.
Thanks, Tyrone.
My comment is that in the midst of all of what the left is trying to do to impeach Donald Trump, holding these closed-door hearings and all of this, isn't it ironic that all of a sudden now, as of last night, we have an investigation that has turned criminal? And the same thing that they're trying to do to him is being done to them.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, and again, this is how you get to the truth. It's a great point, Tyrone. Back to the phones we go. We're trying to get as many in as we can. We got 1 minute, 40 seconds left. Be quick so we can get the calls in. Let's go to Joel in Texas, line five. Joel, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hey, Jordan, thank you very much. You guys are doing great work. Quick question. What happens when Durham starts subpoenaing these individuals and they plead the fifth? Does that pretty much end there, or what happens after that?
If they plead the Fifth Amendment, then they can't be compelled to answer, but he can take them before a district judge and say that the Fifth Amendment does not apply because it doesn't incriminate them, and a judge would have to decide whether or not they pled the Fifth Amendment in good faith or not. If the judge tells them to answer, then they don't do that. They get locked up until they do. So that's how that works. But you can plead any constitutional right that you claim that you have.
Sure, but then it can be brought before a judge to see if you're just doing it to do it or if you're doing it for good reason.
Right.
Shane in California, final call of the day. Got to be quick, Shane. We got 40 seconds left.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, now that this investigation or this has transpired from an inquiry to an actual criminal investigation, if people involved in these FISA abuses and stuff actually start falling, can we expect some of these high-ranking Democrat officials to start falling as well, the ones that have pushed this narrative for the last 3 years?
You know, I think this is more about the government officials than it is politicians. I don't want to, again, that's just speculation. This is more about the deep state actors, the bureaucrats, than the politicians themselves. But we will see. Share this show with your friends and family. This broadcast. Great show today.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. Add your name to our petition right now. Sign on to our petition to stop harvesting aborted babies' organs. Add your name online, aclj.org.